Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 15 and verse 36. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. Can I ask you to do something for me, please? As a pastor, I want to ask you as a church to do something for me. And I don't think I ask you that often, but I'm going to ask you today. I'm going to ask you to do two things, as a matter of fact. Is that okay? Will you do two things for me? Oh, we're on unsteady ground here, right? Two things. Well, number one, pray for our missions revival. Okay? If you want to bless me, if you want to help me, if you want to encourage me, pray this week for our missions revival. Our speaker is Brother Jerry Chandler. Lift him up before the Lord. Call him by name. Ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill that man, that he may proclaim God's word to us as well as to the other missionaries. That's number one. Can you pray for our missions revival every day this week? Please, please, please do. Because if it is just something that has been planned and orchestrated by me or the church staff, it will not be successful. Oh, but if God's in it, great things can occur. Pray, pray, pray. Number two, can I ask you the second thing to please do for me? Please come to our missions revival. Okay? Set aside the time. Right? Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, next Sunday evening, Monday night at 7 o'clock, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. That's four services that this pastor is asking, even begging you, okay? Set aside that time for God. You say, Brother Doug, our kids have a ball game. Let's put God first for once, okay? All right? And Brother Doug, we had God first. God first. And I want to tell you, if we put God first, that's you, that's me, that's all of us, there is no telling how God will open the windows of heaven and pour out His blessings upon this church family. That's my prayer for this revival. Can you do those two things for me? Say amen if you can. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand as we read from the Word of God, Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36. As we continue our study of Jesus building His church. Verse 36 says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness toward us. We thank you for your word and pray now that you would open our eyes to your word. Give us insight and understanding. Lord, speak to us through your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Convict of sins. Draw all men to you. Move in a mighty way in this service, answering spiritual needs as well as physical needs. Lord, we need you. And we do pray for our upcoming revival, Lord. I pray that you'll empower Brother Jerry to bring us the Word of God, your Word, Lord, that will stir our hearts and revive us. Give us hearts to respond to Your Word, Lord. And just pray that You would move in a mighty way. And through this mission revival, we'll see many lost souls saved as well as the saved drawn to You. Lord, we love You. And we praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The story that we just read is the story of the ministry of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas and a young man named John Mark. Now this is the Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, of course. Mark was the cousin of Barnabas, a dear friend to Peter. Peter calls him his son in the faith, 1 Peter 5:13. And we know this young man came from a Christian home, a strong home. His mother, whose name was Mary, had given her house to as a meeting place for the disciples of Jesus Christ, the early church there in the early part of Acts. And as a matter of fact, they were having a special prayer service for Peter when Peter had been arrested. We know that Mark was a believer. We know his family was well off because they had servants. And come from a good home, a wealthy home, a mother who no doubt taught him the principles of the Word of God. But you know what? Just because you come from a good home and good background doesn't mean you'll always make good choices, does it? And that's what happened to John Mark, except Mark's choices affected other people. Because the ministry that God had appointed him to, he deserted that ministry. I mean, he left them high and dry. You see, he was accompanying the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and they went together from the church at Antioch, and they went to places like Seleucia, Cyprus, Salamis, Paphos, Pamphylia. And when they got to Pamphylia, John Mark said, "That's enough. Enough for me. I'm not doing this anymore." And so it says that while they were in Pamphylia that John Mark departed from them. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. Now, that word departing in Acts 13 and 13, we don't get the strength of the word in the English, but that word departing in the Greek literally means to abandon or desert. So what Mark did was basically left Paul and Barnabas high and dry. He deserted them. He abandoned his ministry. And we don't know why. Maybe he is afraid. Maybe he decided this preaching thing was just too much for him. Maybe he was homesick. Whatever the case, he said, "I've had enough. I'm going home." Spoiled kid. Well, that's kind of what Paul, no doubt, thought. And we know that this separation, it wasn't a mutual, "Well, you just going back home. We wish you well, Mark." It was Mark saying, "I'm leaving. I don't care." And see, what you have to understand is Mark's leaving. It says that Mark was their assistant. So anything that Mark would do or would have done in ministry is going to have to be picked up by somebody else. Namely, Paul and Barnabas. Somebody else is going to have to do his job. So he's not just quitting and it affecting him. His quitting affects the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. Now those guys have got to work twice as hard to do their job. And it's Mark's fault. First point. Everybody please understand. Point number one. I'm not going to elaborate a lot on it. Your decisions affect other people. Okay? And you can take this attitude of, "Hey, it's my life. I'll do what you want. I'll do what I want." No. Okay? First of all, it's God's life. He's given it to you and it's on loan from God. And the decisions that you make do not just affect you. They affect other people. Whether it's within your family, whether it's within the church family, you understand you're not an island to yourself. that you're going to have an effect on others by the decisions that you make on a daily basis. Okay? Mark's decision to abandon the ministry affected the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. Number two, it led to the division of the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. Now, of course, Paul and Barnabas, they don't quit. They don't have quit in their DNA. So they go out and they continue the missionary journeys and they make full circle, come full circle back to Antioch. And they rest in Antioch a while. And after they were there for a few days, Paul said, "Hey, I know what." Barnabas said, "What?" Paul said, "Let's go back to all these churches that we've started and let's see how they're doing. What do you think of that, Barnabas?" Barnabas said, "I think that's a wonderful idea. And you know what else I think would be a wonderful idea? I think it would be a wonderful idea if we take old John Mark with us." You know what happened then? Blew Paul's mind. Paul was like, "I don't think so. I can't even believe that you would want to do that." As a matter of fact, it says Barnabas was determined to take John Mark. That word "determined" means to make up one's mind. That means before he ever opened his mouth and said, "Let's take John Mark, what do you think, Paul?" He said, he didn't say that. He said, "Paul, good idea, we're taking John Mark." And you could not have convinced Barnabas of any other course of action than taking John Mark. I mean, stubborn. You know, religious people can be that way, can't we? We get our minds made up and you almost can't change them. And so Barnabas makes up his mind, but Paul, it says, insisted that they not take the one who had deserted them earlier. Now, that word "insisted," you also don't get the whole meaning in the English, but in the Greek it means "consider worthy." So Paul is saying, when he said he insisted they not take this one, he's saying he's not worthy to go with us. It's what Paul is saying. Barnabas is saying, "Let's take Mark." Paul's saying, "I'm not going to waste my time on somebody that's going to go back home at the drop of the hat." So it became very heated. You'd never get that in religious people either, would you? The discussion became... Actually, it says the contention became so sharp between them that they separated. Now, that word "contention" is also an interesting word. It means a state of intense emotional turmoil expressed in words. Now, that's like me looking at Brother Michael, and I'm not looking at Brother Michael saying, "Michael, I'm not really happy about this thing." It's like me looking at Brother Michael saying, "Brother Michael, you're terribly wrong. We're not going this direction. I don't care what you say." That intensity, you know, that's kind of how we tend to be, right? I mean, it's a full-fledged fight between two deeply spiritual men. You would never have guessed that about God's people. Because the first question that comes to mind is, okay, who's right and who's wrong? But I'm going to tell you today, it wasn't a matter of right and wrong. It was a matter of passion. You see, Paul and Barnabas were both very passionate about their ministries, and their ministries were very different. For example, Barnabas is called the son of encouragement. Everywhere that man went, he's putting his arm around people and he's lifting them up and he's encouraging them and trying to bring them along in maturity of the Lord. That's his calling. That's his job. That's why they call him the son of encouragement. And he was passionate about it. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul himself, after his conversion on the road to Damascus, when he got back to Jerusalem, the disciples, the apostles in Jerusalem, would not associate with Paul. Because they knew Paul's past. And they did not believe that Paul had made such a conversion, you know? Guess who it was that came to the rescue? It was Barnabas. It was Barnabas as he come and put his arms around him and presented him to the disciples. Say, look, guys, this man has changed. He's now a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's now a part of the way. This is a good man. Can you imagine what they said about Barnabas when he had presented the Apostle Paul? I don't think so. But it was Barnabas that ran to his side and said, Paul, Paul's our man. And after that, they did receive Paul. Why? Because we need people who are encouragers, right? We do. And that's what Barnabas was. And he was still doing that very thing. You see, Barnabas knew that Mark was sitting over there in Jerusalem, wallowing in his failure. And if he sat over there in Jerusalem and wallowed in his failure the rest of his life, he'd be no good to anyone. Okay? So Barnabas, being passionate, he says, okay, we've got to lift this young man back up. He made a bad choice, but we're going to pick him back up, right? But then the Apostle Paul, also being passionate, he was passionate about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, it did not matter what happened, wherever he went, he was going to make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached to the Gentiles. That man, because of his preaching, was ran out of town. He was stoned. He was mocked. He was arrested. He was whipped. And all that didn't matter. Paul's mentality is found in 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is to me if I do not preach the gospel. See, that's where his passion was. Everything about Paul pointed toward preaching the gospel. And he had no time for anybody who got cold feet or turned sissy on him, right? Brings us to a point that we need to understand. In ministry, disagreements occur. Don't be surprised when a disagreement occurs between two spiritual people. Okay? Because we are very passionate about our faith. Amen? I have a passionate belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it is our job to proclaim the salvation of Jesus Christ. I believe it is my job to declare the Word of God on a weekly basis. I'm passionate about it. That's why I spend time studying and preparing each week so I can proclaim the Word of God. And if that ministry is ever challenged, guess what? My passion is going to come out. I can't help it. That's kind of what happened here. Often there's disagreements. And I'm not preaching this because there are disagreements in this church. Even though there may be, and I don't know about it. But, you know, I'm preaching this because this is what God's laid upon my heart. And I think it's probably to prepare us. That church people are not perfect. There comes a time when we're going to have to look over their faults and even their passions and zeals to a fault. I look here and I'm reminded, it's okay to disagree in ministry, but it's not okay to destroy a ministry. If you'll take notice, these men are going to separate because of their disagreement. But you know what never happens? You will never hear Paul nor Barnabas say a cross word about the other one in the future. They just decided, hey, we've got to go different directions. I'm reminded, and the area that I grew up in, how that there are so many missionary Baptist churches. Do you know why there are so many missionary Baptist churches in the area I grew up in? People will tell you it's because they couldn't get along with one another. And somebody would get mad and they'd move down the road and start another church. Well, I'm not so sure that wasn't right. That the problem was that we couldn't get along with one another. But the fact is this. It's amazing how God can take something that we would consider bad and make something good come from it. You look at Paul and Barnabas, and they were no doubt two of the tightest men around. And they were so tight in their, you know, in their ministry together. And so one could back up here and say, wow, this is going to destroy the ministry. No, it doesn't destroy the ministry. It divides a ministry and gives an opportunity for a new ministry. And that's what happens. You see, Paul and Silas, or not Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, instead of getting angry and one of them pouting, going back to Jerusalem, crossing his arms, said, I'm not going to do anything else ever again. You ever heard people say that? It always made me smile in the Lord's church. Somebody made a man, I'm never going to church again. Well, that's just dumb. That's just dumb. You may have to pursue a different ministry. But listen, that's no excuse to quit. Ever. Ever. See, what happens here is that God takes this one team and divides them and makes two teams. Paul gets Silas and Barnabas gets John Mark, and Barnabas took John Mark to Cyprus, and Paul departed and he continues his missionary journey of starting churches. You know what was happening? Okay. Paul is doing what he's called to do, and Barnabas is doing what he's called to do. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool how God takes something and you think, wow, boy, this is terrible. No, it's not terrible. It's great. It's two new ministries started. Why am I telling you this? Number one, never get soured about church. Okay? Because churches have people. And people have faults. All except a few of us, right? No, we all have faults. And it's easy to say, okay, I quit church. That's never acceptable. Never. Amen. Never. Never. God may open up a new ministry door for you. Maybe you're passionate about this area and the church you're in is not passionate about this area. So maybe the Lord's leading you a different direction. Hey, go with it. It's all right. Do it. But never, never lay down and say, well, they didn't do what like I think they should have done, so I'm through with church. I had mentioned the church, the area where I grew up. There are three categories of people. There are folks going to that church. There are folks that don't go to that church anymore because that church did that. And there are folks that are not going at all because that church hurt their feelings. No. No. Number one, you don't carry grudges. Okay? Say amen if you agree. You never, Brother Doug, you don't understand what they did. Listen, it happened 25 years ago. I don't care what they did. Right? Never carry a grudge. It will destroy your ministry. Okay? Number two, never quit. That's no excuse. I always look at people who have quit church, and say, I don't go to church anymore because, and they fill in the blank. And you know what I want to ask them? How many times have you been upset at work? How many times did your boss get on your nerves? How many times did somebody at work say something or do something that just made you so mad you could have just shake them? Did you quit? Well, no, Brother Doug, I didn't quit. Why not? Well, Brother Doug, I need a paycheck. Well, amen. You know what? You need a spiritual nourishment too, and you only get that in church. Okay. Whatever you're willing to do for a physical paycheck, you should be more than willing to doubly do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Second thing. Look at what happened to Mark. This poor kid. Man, he blew it. He blew it. But Barnabas goes back to Jerusalem, gets that young man, and takes him to Cyprus with him. And he begins to work with that young man. And because he began to work with that young man, we don't hear a lot about their travels, but I think it's because that they don't relate to church building so much as the ministry of Paul did. I think it relates more to disciple making. Barnabas took the time with this young man who had messed up. And he makes this young man, he brings this young man back into ministry. You know, there are a lot of people today who need to be brought back into ministry. One thing that God's people are not real good about is forgiving. We'll look at people and say, you know what they did? And we'll talk about those same people, you know what they're doing, and but very few are willing to put their arm around them and say, let me help you out of it. Oh, listen, we need the Apostle Paul's, no doubt, starting churches and starting ministries. But, beloved, we need sons of encouragement also. People who are willing to see the faults of other people and still put their arms around them and lead them toward God. That's what Barnabas does with Mark. You see, he's been wallowing in his failure in Jerusalem until Barnabas says, okay, let's go back. Let's bring this boy back. I want to tell you something. Failure is not final. Are you with me? Failure is not final. It is simply an education that leads to success. That should have been amen. I don't care who you are. Your failure is an education that will lead you to success. It will. You look at the great men of the Bible. Men like Noah. Wait a minute. Oh, humanity was saved by Noah. He spent 100 years building that ark and put the animals on it. And what a man. You know, Noah had an alcohol problem. He did. He was still used of God. What about Moses? Oh, what a great man. Led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He was a murderer. He was. He was on the run for his life. You think that's not a failure? Abraham, you know, the father of the nation of Israel, was so big a coward he told people his wife was his sister because he was afraid. He had a courage problem. David, man after God's own heart, was a murderer and an adulterer. Failures, one after the other. Men like Peter, The big mouth that always spoke up. Until it came to the point of standing up for Jesus and he denied Jesus. You think that wasn't a failure? The Apostle Paul spent his whole, a lot of his life persecuting the church. And boy, that haunted him. Man, I persecuted the church. I messed up, Paul would say. But you know the wonderful news about that? God took these failures and made great men from them. Even after their failure. Okay? So what am I saying to you? You may have failed. You probably have failed. But let me tell you something. Your life's not over. Nor is your ministry over. If God can take men like Noah, Moses, Abraham, David, Peter, and Saul and make something out of them, He can take men and women like you and I. In spite of our failures. You might think today, well, I guess it's a little different for a revival message. Well, I didn't intend it to be a revival message, but I will tie it all in. Okay? See, there are a lot of people who are sitting on the sidelines. A lot of people who are sitting on the sidelines doing nothing and making excuses. Well, it's because I was hurt. Or, well, it's because I did this in the past and I know I shouldn't have done it, but I just can't serve any. Quit making excuses. Okay? It's time to get a passion again. Okay? It's time to have a passion for what God has placed you on this earth to be and to do. And beloved, you have a calling that is just as real as my calling. People look at preachers and say, oh, they're very special. That you know, they're unique. And well, we are special, right? But I want to tell you, we're no more special than anybody else because everybody in this service has a calling. God has a purpose for your life. Quit making excuses. Oh, but Brother Doug, you don't know my failure. I don't care about your failure. God says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And if God can forgive you, who am I to hold it against you? Okay? Quit making excuses. You're here for a reason. Take that passion for your mission again. Do you remember the day, the time when you were excited about church? You remember that time? Man, when heard people talk about visiting Victory and they say such things. Boy, I knew right when I walked in the door at Victory, I just felt at home. Well, praise the Lord. That's how we want you to feel, right? That is. But you remember the zeal when you joined and that passion that you had for ministry and for being involved and being a part of the ministry? Do you still have it? Well, Brother Doug, it slipped. It's because you're settling. You're settling for mediocrity. Listen, you think Paul settled for mediocrity? You want to know why Paul had such trouble getting over Mark's desertion? Because he was a zealous man. Now, understand, because of what Barnabas did, he brought Mark back to the point where Paul, when he's writing his letter to Timothy, he tells Timothy, Timothy, bring old Marcus with you. He's beneficial to me. He's profitable to me. You know? You think Barnabas wasn't zealous when he was arguing with Paul about, no, I'm going to go put my arm around John Mark and we're going to bring him back into the ministry. He was fired up. That's what we need in churches today. People, Christians, who are fired up. Instead of just sit somewhere, pick up a song book, sing three songs, give an offering, and hope the preacher don't preach too long so we can go home. Time to renew our zeal. Stir up the gift, as Paul told young Timothy. Stir up the gift. Listen, we can preach at you, and Brother Jerry can preach at you until we're blue in the face. But until you decide you are not satisfied with mediocre religion, you're going to stay in mediocre religion. Don't settle. Jesus is building His church. We're privileged to have a part in this building program. Get excited. Stir up the gift that is within you. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a great day to give your life to Jesus. You know what's wonderful about the grace of Jesus? Grace. Meaning you don't get what you deserve. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. It's what the Bible says. That means you. That means all of us. So therefore, we've got to take care of our sin. The only way to take care of sin is to take it to the cross of Calvary where Jesus gave His life so that you could have eternal life. Now this morning, I present to you, why would you walk out of here bound for hell when Jesus has paved the way for your salvation? And He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a child of God? If not, I want to invite you to come during this invitation. Maybe you're here today, and you just kind of mossed over, and you're good with this mediocre religion. You want to know how to get out of it? Spend time at the altar. Oh, Brother Doug, I'm embarrassed to come to the altar. I'm not. Because it does two things. It shows everybody that I believe in prayer. And number two, I count it a privilege to come before my Father in prayer. Maybe you're here today and you need to become a member of this church. I'm going to invite you to come. Whatever your spiritual need is, I'm going to challenge you. Instead of sitting where you are, stir up the gift that is within you. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege of worship. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word and the opportunity to look into Your Word. And Lord, so many of us have failures. So many of us, Lord, have been dismissed as not being usable anymore. Lord, remind us that if we're still drawing breath, You got us here for a reason. And so, Lord, I pray that today we would renew our desire for You. That we will let the fires of revival begin to burn, and that, Lord, we'll not settle for lukewarmness any longer. Father, we love You and we need You so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.